You guessed it, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of week. Welcome to the Highbury Squad Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 19. It's hump day, and you know what that means. It's Kevin Says. Welcome back, everybody, to the show. Thank you again for joining us. And thanks to everyone who joined us last night on the post-game show after the Wolves debacle. In the house, the legend himself, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
Well, how are you and how is everybody in chat? I hope you're all well. I hope you're happy. Obviously not too happy after yesterday, but I hope you're starting to get over it.
Yeah, well, I think my blood's still boiling a bit, but we'll get to some of that. But this is all about you guys, everyone in chat. Get ready to listen to Kevin's 3 points this week. We're going to start off with one and then talk about it. Then we'll play the second, talk about it, and the third. You guys get the picture. Right, Kev, let's go.
Hi, everyone. This is Kev Says 16. And this is obviously after the Wolves game. And I wanted to, now that these questions are in my head, I wanted to make sure I record. This is just after the Highbury squad. And I want to record the Kev Says questions right now. So, question one. What's your thoughts on the way Mikel Arteta handled the game, especially with 10 and 9 men? We know that the team played very well first half, but how do you think he managed the game, considering?
All right, that's question number one from Super Kev. How did Mikel Arteta handle the game? And it's really, it's interesting because there are two parts to this. There's when we went down to 10 men and he had the opportunity to make adjustments at halftime. And then, of course, going down to 9 men. I mean, in my opinion, there's not much the guy could do. So good evening to everyone in chat. Let's get rolling with your questions on how you think Arteta handled the game, your opinions on how he handled the game, and if you think that he made the wrong or right substitution. So let's see what Victor says here. Question, when will the rest be accountable for their decisions? Okay, this is a little bit goes into it. I'm going to...
We could answer that.
Yeah, let's
after,
do it.
Can't we?
Okay,
we
yeah,
could,
let,
we,
yeah.
No, actually, we can answer that while we're speaking about it, to be honest, because it's all part and parcel. You know, listen, the referee had really, he had 3 big decisions to make yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
One was the Saka penalty. That was number one, Sophie. Number two was obviously the sending offs. And the third one was the Leno sending off. 3 big decisions. And every single decision went against us.
Yep, it did. Let's go to James. Here we go. The team were brilliant before the red card. He got it all wrong taking Laka off. Should have been ESR. He sacrificed the win straight away, taking off our only striker. No shot second half shows. I said on a podcast earlier this morning, Kev, that I thought that he made the sub coming out to play for a draw with 10 men. Maybe that's right. Maybe that's wrong. What's your take on what James is saying?
I disagree. Like I disagreed last night with you, Sophie. I just thought that he believed Arsenal had a better chance with more legs in the midfield. And it was always going to be, Wolves were going to be able to control the possession. But when Arsenal won it back, they were going to need legs to be able to break up the pitch. So that's what I thought. It's a decision that he had to make. And listen, it's all very well. If Arsenal would have won the game, nobody would have said he made a mistake taking Laka off. But the problem is, as a manager, you have to make the adjustment. And he made the decision. I didn't think it was the wrong decision. I understood what he'd done.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody has to be sacrificed, unfortunately. Because if you put if you keep Laka on and you don't get any chances to Laka, You're going to say, so why didn't we keep Smith Rowe on? Because he can create. Again, there's so many permutations of this, but there was only one decision he had to make, and he made it.
Yeah, I think with ESR, people do have a valid point in that he looked gassed, you know, and we'll get to him and, you know, question number two in a little bit, the three. So hold on to that thought. Here's our good friend, the Egyptian Guna podcast. Welcome. I emailed you back, by the way. I disagree with his substitutions, but there's no guarantee it would have resulted in a different outcome, unfortunately. We just needed a different approach in a very difficult situation. Fair enough, right, Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, look, if he would have kept Lacquer on, I wouldn't have beefed that it was the wrong decision. Whatever he'd done is the right decision because he's the manager. That's all. So I'm not going to second guess him. That's my point. I'm not going to second guess him because he made a decision.
Well, someone who second guesses him all the time is Newman. He blames Arteta for the defeat. He fielded a player who has three reds and conceded six penalties. For me, playing Luiz is always a gamble, not concerned with the subs. What do you think about Newman said, our red card's 9 since Arteta's taken over. We have 6 more than any other team in the Premier League. It is an issue. Is this a little bit unfair?
Yeah, I think that's a bit unfair because I didn't hear Newman saying anything against Manchester United. Or before that, when against Southampton, I didn't hear Newman saying anything about David Luiz then. David Luiz was man of the match against Manchester United, and he played very well. So we've got the second best defence. Yeah, we've had red cards and all that kind of thing. But unfortunately, this is some of the things that happen.
Casey,
when
you there? Just losing Casey for a minute. He'll be right back.
Can you hear me?
We lost you for a second there, Casey.
Okay.
You just cut out. Yeah. You said it wasn't a concern about Man United.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I'm not really concerned because, you see, these are the things that happen when you're an emerging team again. We are not the finished article.
No.
We have had changes at the back. We've had changes in midfield. We've had changes at the top end of the pitch. We've just got the dead Lee Wood out of the club. So it's all new. Listen, David Luiz, has he got a mistake in him at times? Yes, he has. But you tell me which player sometimes doesn't. The only very top ones, Sophie, don't have the mistakes in them. But you have to pay for them.
And we did yesterday. And I think it's just a shame because informed team second to Manchester City and Wolves at the bottom of the informed table, which is a little bit frustrating. Okay. Good evening, Mike. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to try and get to all of your comments. You know, we're doing it one segment at a time so I can get all of your comments in on this particular subject. So keep them coming. I'm going down them one at a time. All right, you guys. I agree with the subs. He made changes based on time, recent players' workload, Ober and Gabriel needing minutes in preparation for Aston Villa. What do you think about Mike's comment?
That's a fair shout, to be honest. Look, I think what we have to understand as fans as well is that the manager, the picture, he has a bigger picture to look at. Of course he does. And making a decision that he did, maybe Smith Rowe might not start against Villa.
We'll see.
What I mean? You know what I mean, Sophie? So he's got to, because he's got Martin Odegaard there, who obviously they went down to 10 men. He's probably thinking, you know what? He needs a game. Mm-hmm. And this isn't the game to bring him in on when we're already down to 10 men.
At the time.
So maybe what I'll do is I'll mix it. I'll make Smith Rowe, because I know Smith Rowe would do the legwork. I'll sacrifice Lacquer, but obviously on Saturday, Lacquer starts and Odegaard could play. So we'll see, but there's a bigger picture.
Yeah, and at that point, he is really starting to think, because you got to run more, you got to cover more ground when you go down to 10, let alone 9 men. So he starts thinking about the games that are coming, and Europa League's going to kick in again soon too. Mr. James Johnston, good evening to you, sir. I hope you are very well. Mikel Arteta pissed.
Hey, all right. Listen, was he on the Alvino? Was he on the Spanish Alvino Tinto? Was he?
Oh dear. Mikel Arteta picked the best lineup available and we played 44 minutes of the best football we've played all season, 100%. However, his substitutions were wrong and incorrect. Well, you have to tell us why, James. Why were they wrong and incorrect?
Yeah, James, you can't just say that and then all of a sudden you've gone missing.
Let's see.
Speak up, James.
You got to let us know. You got to let us know why. Oh, here we go. Found it. Aubameyang was a massive gamble. He trained once in 15 days. I agree with that. And literally got back from nearly losing his mother. It was a huge risk to bring him on. It did not pay off.
Yeah, but he was on the bench and we're chasing the game. James, what do you want?
Well, it's a fair statement. When you go through something like that, then you have to quarantine. It's hard enough in this time. He's not really in form. You know, he's really struggled. I think there's some weight to what James is saying, Kev.
Not for me. Listen, he trained. He obviously felt up to being on the bench. How else are we going to get him involved? Because the longer we leave it, it's the more game time he's going to need.
I get that. We're going to move through these swiftly because there might be some I think we'll come back to Aubameyang at some point, but it just hasn't been that great. And was this the right game to bring him back into, considering, you know, the circumstances? Bernadette 68. Good evening, Bernadette. I think he handled it well. Conceding a wonder goal was unavoidable. Well, this is true. If we'd kept it 1-1 for a bit longer, it would have been different. After the second red, not much could be done. Can't argue with that.
Bernadette, you got it spot on, to be honest. I think if we could have kept it at 1-1, then obviously the doubt comes into Wolves' head. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't. They scored a worldie, and then we got Leno sent off for crazy, crazy moment. And then that's the game really over, we hope, but you can't really do much.
No, it was on such a great run. 5 clean sheets, dealing with the Emmy stuff. He's saved us in so many games. You know, we go on unbeaten run. A lot to do with his clean sheets as well, Kevin. It's just a shame that he had a moment of absolute madness. Rohit Singh, thank you for joining us. Hi, Sophie and Casey. I think the first half we played some brilliant football, some of the most brilliant football this season. I think subs of Oba and Pepe was fine by me. I think Arteta wanted to counter after the red. Do you agree? It seemed to me like he was playing for the draw. Did that smack of wanting to counter?
No,
sit back.
Because they've got the extra man, Sophie. If you overcommit, and this is why I thought if he played Lacazette stays up the pitch because he's back to goal. He's very good at that. I agree with you on that. But the problem is because there's two players who could handle him, he's surrounded. It's difficult to get him the ball because Laka doesn't have the speed to outrun them over the top. Mm-hmm. So they can go as tight as they like to him and we find ourselves not getting out and we're a man light in midfield. But when you play the system that he played, everybody could get back into a system and then when we win it, we could use the legs to break.
Yeah.
That was my thinking.
Let's go to Pulp Roman. At halftime, I would have taken off ESR for Gabriel, put in Arteta's defence. I have no idea about squad dynamics such as Laka's fitness. And then just to dovetail that, James said we needed a forward to hold the ball up there. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I've answered this a couple of times, isn't it? You know, Laka, we know Laka's the best player who can hold it up. But when you are down to 10 men, it's a lot more difficult to get him the ball because they can just block that because you're so deep. How are you going to get the ball to Laka, who is not a big lad? You understand? So you're going to have to bypass the midfield because you're not just going to have a ball where you win it back and you've got a straight ball into him. You're going to have to knock it. So there's going to be a challenge. And if Laka's going to be challenging, he's not going to win. If he flicks it on, he's flicking it onto nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he's always going to be under challenge. So that's why I thought, because we're so deep, when we win the ball, we can play intricate play to move up the pitch and we've got the legs to get up.
There's a lot of these that have come in on why take Pepe off. Olare B, thank you for joining us. And then Johnny Boy. Good evening, Johnny Boy. We hope you're well. Replacing Pepe confused me. We were all saying you needed to play regularly. Your thoughts, Kevin?
Look, everything changes when you go down to 10 men and then 9 men. It's you know, all hands to the pump. And what you've got to try and do, you've got to try and salvage something if you can. With 10 men, you want to stay in the game as long as possible. That's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we couldn't. They scored a great goal, which is 2-1, obviously. And then you get to the point where you're saying to yourself, okay, the boys are putting in a shift, but we need a threat. We need another threat. And we need fresh legs. Aubameyang, in his mind, is fresh for the amount of time that he comes on the pitch. And we know if you give Aubameyang a chance, he could take one. So that's probably why he brought him on. And he needed minutes.
Yeah. Andrew Love, welcome, Andrew. Thanks for joining us again. Arsenal would have a better chance going to a back three and keeping it tight and hoping for a breakaway like the Chelsea away game when Martinelli scored. Your thoughts on that, Kevin?
No, I don't think so. The reason being, they play quite wingers. Okay, they play wingers, and Adama Traore, when he's got all that space to run into, you're asking for trouble. So I wouldn't have done that.
And Ugo Chikuyu said, wow, what a fantastic name. I hope I didn't, you know, ruin that. But we actually, for tomorrow's show, just to let everyone know, we're going to have the ref on and we're going to talk about this too. So
we're going to batter him. I am going to batter him.
Okay, let's get to another one here. Xander, Laka doesn't often get the full 90, so understand the choice. At 9 men, he brought on our most clinical striker, hoping if we get one chance, he would be the one man to put it away.
Yeah, that makes sense. Look, Lacazette, we've said, is the best player we've got at holding the ball up. But unfortunately, we didn't have 11 men, so we can get that opportunity to hold the ball up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of them things.
Good evening, Virginia. Hopefully Kev answered that for you just a few minutes ago, but I wanted to put your question up too. I think he's explained the Pepe Oba thing. I mean, you know, it's really tricky in these situations because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, aren't you, Kevin?
Yeah.
Some fans are going to be upset. And of course, you know, Aubameyang's form has become a little polarizing. We know he's special and unique and he saved us. And also Pepe has had an amazing three games in a row, finally, and got some consistency. And it's just a shame after scoring such a wonder goal himself, you know.
We go down to 10 and 9 men, you know, it's heart-wrenching. But do you know what? I'll be really honest with you, Sophie. Arteta would feel disappointed in the result, 100%, and the fact that he lost. But you know, when you look at that first part of the game, you say to yourself, oh, hold on a minute. They're getting it. They're finally getting what I want. And that's what he's got to focus on. He's got to focus on that first part of the game where we played unbelievable football, where we should have blew Wolves away.
We didn't take our chances, Kevin, and that came back to haunt us as well. Yeah. Let's see. Victor had a good point here. Good evening, Victor. Thanks for joining us. Everyone hyped at the lineup, but against Arteta when things go south. We were all happy with the lineup. Great choice. He's kept with players that are in form. He did the right thing. And you're right. It's hard to... I think my issue, Kevin, is at halftime, Leno makes some... You know, everyone was angry. You could see the players from post-game on their social media. I mean, this really got to them. This was a tough pill to swallow because they played their best football all season and we were in total control of that game. Mm-hmm. And at halftime, you've been in those situations where you felt aggrieved by sending off. Take us inside the dressing room because Leno comes out and makes a stupid mistake like that. Is it hard to simmer everyone down? I mean, is it down to the player? Is it Arteta kind of maybe not calming them down? Can you just talk us through that a little bit?
Well, you go in and you're obviously hot and you're angry, but obviously the manager takes charge of that because what everyone's got to understand is an adjustment has to be made. And he can't make an adjustment with everybody kicking, punching walls, and he needs them to be calm. So he'll probably speak to his coaching staff and tell him he's got 5 minutes. I'll speak to you in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, they could go do whatever they're doing, wash their face, do whatever. All right, come in and sit down And then he will start to put the game plan in place. Listen, because we're down to 10 men, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Gabriel on. And Laka, I'm going to take you off today. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to sit deep. So if we go pressing, we've got a man less. So they're always going to find the outlet. So what we're going to do is sit deep. And when we win the ball back, I expect you, Emil Smith-Rowe, and I expect you, Pepe, to be our outlets wide. We're going to take it in turn sometimes. Saka, you're going to be a striker or a false nine or whatever. But that's the way we're going to have to play. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to share the load. And that's what he would do. There won't be players coming in hot and not listening to the manager. The manager will get the respect in that dressing room.
Okay, there's been a couple of points. Wes Bird, thanks so much for joining us. Right, Rio Arteta, the team set up brilliantly prior to the red card. We hadn't been beaten in the league. Our tempo was superb after the red. I think subbing Laka was a mistake as he could hold the ball best. I just wanted to get that in terms of the form, Kevin.
But you see, a lot of people talk about Laka holding the ball up, but they don't talk about Laka holding the ball up when we're down to 10 men, Sophie.
Yeah, it's a different scenario.
It's a different scenario because he's more isolated. When we've got 11 men, there's people closer to Laka. So it makes a lot more sense for him to be that focal point. But when we're down to 10 men, you know, we don't have the bodies that are close enough to him. So, It's a difficult one.
Sire Amin, thanks for joining us. Progression is important. We're going to wrap this segment up and move on to Kevin's next question in just a second here. But this is important because it plays into what's happened, Kevin. Progression is important for now. Our progression in league from last season with Arteta to this season. He needed to identify the problems. Arsenal still has players that create weak culture. I think we've mostly gotten rid of those players that create the weak culture. I don't think Elneny's that kind of guy. He's not a troublesome kind of guy. Xhaka isn't. You know, Chambers and players like that, I think, just need to move on now. But what's really important is that fans are seeing that. And we're going to get to that in one of our next segments here. Okay, let's see. The stupidest red it is the stupidest red. I mean, it was just really just awful. And there's nothing the manager can do about that, Kevin. I mean, he can't. And most people in chat are saying that David Luiz, other than Newman, that he was playing quite well. He had been doing okay.
The thing is, he never made a mistake on the night. The fact of the matter is, he got caught out of position, which he can do. Rob Holding, I said, was out of position that he couldn't help his mate. And David Luiz was just trying to get back. He never even attempted to make a challenge on the player. But there was a little contact, minimal contact. So, fair enough, like I said yesterday, maybe it is a red, but it's not a sending off, Sophie. No chance. It's not a sending off. He doesn't even attempt to challenge the player. But I'm sure we're going to deal with this with that blinking referee tomorrow.
I'm not sure where Char Hills... What game? Were you watching a different game to us? We were outnumbered, not outplayed. That's correct, actually. I read that incorrectly. I correct myself. I was like, we were outnumbered and outplayed. Sorry, I didn't get the not part. All right, let's move on to the next subject, Kevin. Here we go, everyone. This is Kevin Says Part 2.
Number 2. Do you think Arsenal have turned a corner? Even though we lost, it was a tough loss to take. Do you think Arsenal have turned a corner, performance-wise especially?
All right, guys, get ready. Get your questions fired in. KC Pardieu. Do you think Arsenal have turned a corner? How about I start with something in a nutshell? Mm-hmm. Those first 45 minutes, I was buzzing. I was absolutely buzzing. I thought, wow, where has this Arsenal been all season? But we've had to go through our own progressions, transitions, totally different team now. We're changing the culture of the club and the DNA, not only behind the scenes, but also on the pitch too. Mm-hmm. And I think that first 45 minutes was amazing. KC's going to give us his summary at the end, but let's start getting to some of your points as well. Wayne says definitely. From yesterday's performance, Knuckles HB says absolutely yes. JS, Arsenal have definitely turned the corner. The performance in the first half, I don't think you can argue with any of that. Let's see, from Bernadette. I think we did well not to implode last night. When Leno was sent off, I feared the worst. In the past, we may have crumbled. The next game will be a massive test of character for the players. Bernadette's on fire tonight, Kevin.
She's on it. Bernie, you're on it, girl. And I see you in the marble halls as well in your photo. So brilliant. No, you make a really good point there. I know you kind of said yesterday that, you know, we imploded a bit, Sophie. But I didn't think we did. I thought the players done really well considering the circumstances to keep it at 1-1. And then obviously they scored a great goal. To keep it at 2-1 for such a long time. To still stay in the game till when we get to the end. Wolves are on the back foot and we're even with 9 men trying to get an equaliser. I thought that was commendable by the boys considering we were down to 9 men.
Yeah, look what happened to Southampton. They lost 9-0.
Exactly. You know? So, you know, I think the players are going to be fine. I think Mikel Arteta is going to dust them down and they're going to be raring to go at Villa because I think we owe Villa one.
Oh, we owe them a big one. And let's hope we deliver the big one. It was a stupendous first half. Yes, we have turned the bloody corner. Jason says, we're turning a corner. You can see the progress. Arsenal Queen, yes, we have. We can't be bullied like before. Want you to address this one, Kevin, and the mentality has changed. I think it's evolved. I think we still need to get there, but it is night and day that we don't capitulate, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you remember, Sophie, when we done the podcast after the Aston Villa at the Emirates game?
That was humiliating.
Right. And I said to you that I believe Mikel Arteta was shocked at what he saw on that pitch. Mm-hmm. Experienced players capitulating at home to Aston Villa. And they didn't have any fight in them, whatever. What we're seeing now, obviously, we've got the deadly wood out. But what we're seeing is, for me, a team kind of starting to gel together. We're starting to gel together. And yeah, we might not win all the games. I get that. We might, because we're not quite there yet. But I see us fighting. I see us have the energy. I see us competing. And but for some bad finishing, we would have won that game last night. So
we'd have been 3-0 up at half time, maybe.
Without a shadow.
GB, the first half, I finally saw a coherent strategy and attack. Arteta seems to have solved certain things. I want you to you just rattled off a whole bunch, Kevin, in terms of the things that we've improved. But the coherent strategy and attack, there seems to be more of an identity to the team now. Is that because, you know, of the infusion of like ESR, who's changed us really going forward, more mobility, Thomas Partey?
It's youth and energy. It's youth and energy. Thomas Partey brings a smartness, acuteness in midfield with a tough edge. He's good. He's a good passer and he passes forward, Sophie. So when players are in position, the ball isn't going sideways so they don't get the ball. Thomas Partey gets the ball and he can maneuver the ball to a point where he passes it forward. And then what we're seeing is our players, Pepe, Smith Rowe, etc., turning, and then all of a sudden the back four or back defense are in problems because we got runners. We got Pepe running, we got Saka running, we got Smith Rowe, we got midfielders pushing up behind it, and Lacazette at the top. I think that was our problem at the start. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the midfield players who can fire that ball into offensive players quick enough.
Yes.
Because there was a problem. We always said, we're so slow. We're so slow. We pass it sideways. And what happens when you pass it sideways? The opposition get back round and they all get in position and they say, fine, break us down. And it's difficult.
Totally different. And I think GB brings up a great point. How important is this, Kevin? In terms of turning that corner, and like everyone said, we've turned the corner. You can definitely see what he's doing. Some people have said we've turned the corner, but we're not there yet, which I think we all agree on. But this point here, and one that a few people are making, how important is this?
Partey's the key to it all. He really is. I mean, look at Xhaka. Look how Xhaka plays mm-hmm. with Partey. I mean, I've got to say, Xhaka's been outstanding. He has. And I'm not his biggest fan. I'm not his biggest fan whatsoever. I said I wanted him out after he threw his shirt down. And do you know what, Sophie? I stick by it. No, I do, because it wasn't good enough then. And I still say it's not good enough. But I've got to say, he's playing amazing. Thomas Partey makes one player who makes us better offensively and defensively. And he's not even fully up to speed yet. We know that. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have to keep him playing. And he slowly but surely, we've got to get him up to speed. Once he's up to speed, Sophie, I got no worries about him. He needs the complementary pieces around him.
Like this guy that you want. You want this guy, and apparently he's having a good game against Liverpool right now. And you know what? I agree in some ways. And hi, Jimmy. I saw you this morning. We chatted this morning, but it's good to see you back in chat. Partey wasn't at his best yesterday. Gave the ball away. I don't think that's the case maybe you're thinking about the Man United game. But the truth is,
he was excellent last night.
The truth is, though, Kevin, we haven't really seen the super best of him yet. He's been coming back from the injury, settling in. So that's what's kind of scary and scary for opponents, but exciting for us.
Well, you know what, Sophie? You're seeing a very small sample size of what he can do. Hmm. Remember, I covered him at Atletico all last season. And I've seen what this guy can do. The guy, he's special. Do you remember when we were saying, should we get Aouar or should we get Partey? And I said, we got to get Partey. Yep. He is the key. Mm-hmm. He is the key to us doing all the work and moving forward. I'm telling you, he is.
Yeah, and a lot of people are talking about Pepe as well. And I just want to make, there's quite a few. There's 265 in chat. Hit that like button for us. If you dig us, we love that. If you don't, we'll still be friends. But thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to the Highbury Squad. It's Kevin Says. It's our lockdown series, volume 2, episode 19. And, you know, I think the key here is it's amazing how, Kevin, even though the game was ended horrifically and there was an injustice on that red card and Leno kind of burnt the house down in the end, the fact that fans who have been a little crazy, there's been a coming together a little bit from this as well. Would you agree in that because we played so well in the first half, everyone's kind of seen, like you said in a Kevin Says a few months ago, is this a snapshot of the future under Mikel Arteta? You remember that show, right?
Yeah.
Had we played badly in that first half, I think the sky would be falling. But the sky's falling today because we're all united in feeling injustice. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's a smart analogy of what is happening. I think the Arsenal fan base now have seen Mikel Arteta's team starting to take a bit of shape in that first half and play the type of football that, hold on a minute, you know, we should have beat Wolves hands down out of sight after about half an hour. We should have been 2-3 goals up. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, they weren't in the game. We absolutely... No. Took them apart, but again, we've turned the corner, but we're not fully. It's a long corner.
Yeah, it's a long corner. It's like
we are turning. We're turning.
It's like we're the biggest roundabout. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Let's see. Let's get to a few more of these comments, and then we'll get to the final one, because the final one, I think, will definitely get everyone going in terms of how you think we should set up for our next game. Defensively, we look better. The defense was split for that penalty, let's be honest, right, Kevin? Yeah. Rob Holding, maybe. I think his positioning was a little off as much as David Luiz. They were split. I mean, these things happen in football. Rob Holding, I'm not going to kill him either because he's improved and he's been better as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And well,
the fact is, you see, Sophie, here's my point. The fact David Luiz was caught up the pitch, when that ball gets played to the striker, Rob Holding's the next one who's got to be there. He shouldn't be running into our box unchallenged, straight. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Rob Holding should be coming across to make the challenge, so he's under pressure. So then David Luiz won't have to make it back from there to challenge him.
Yep.
Rob Holden should have been there. So,
yeah, I think one of the things that's coming through as well, big up, Kev, really enjoy these streams during times like this. God bless. Some really nice comments from everyone. Smash that like button, Gooners. A lot of people just saying thanks to you, Kevin, for opening yourself up and answering these questions for fans, because I think it's one game, Arsenal Queen, that he's going to be banned for. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it's a three-game ban, Kevin, but we'll have to look into that. Right.
Well, Leno's was a straight red, wasn't it? That was a straight red.
Yes.
But I'm not sure.
Well, so was David's, wasn't it? He just came out with a red straight away.
Yeah, yeah. They're both straight red. So I think it is three games. Luiz has been sent off already this season, hasn't he? So he might get three games. We should appeal it. We should appeal it anyway. We've got nothing to lose.
Southampton are definitely appealing theirs, and Southampton have actually asked that two referees do not referee their games ever again. I think that gets into really tricky ground. This isn't the Sopranos, Southampton.
Let me tell you. I think you need Tony Soprano for that. Jesus, please.
That one seemed worse than the David Luiz one. I don't know which was worse.
No. They were both terrible. They're both terrible. And again, David Luiz, there was contact. And if he never gave it, I would understand it. Because he gave it, I understand it. But to send him off, for me, it was the sending off that really killed us, Sophie.
Yeah.
Because if we'd had 11 men, I fancied our chances.
Mm.
I really fancied our chances.
I did too. But obviously, you know, this is a really important point. Heads never dropped. When we went down tonight, we had a chance to equalize at the end.
That's right. We did. And, you know, I think I mentioned it yesterday. I was proud of the players because even on our group, Sophie, I said, here's what we're going to find out whether the players are committed now, because it would be easy to just chuck it.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They stuck to their guns. They worked their socks off. And, you know, with a little slice of luck, who knows what would have happened at the end with 9 men. I mean, that says a lot.
Yeah. And we agree. Cedric has really changed things for us again. Unafraid to run with the ball, can pick a pass. He's good on both sides, Kevin. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, you and I have talked about more respect. He's a Euro winner. You know, he's got Premier League experience. And a lot of the times, this is why Kev wants not only Bissouma because he's so talented, but players who've played in the Premier League. Yeah. These things matter and these things count, don't they, Kev? So
100%.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to move on to our final one here. Let's just see. I just wanted to find one more for you here. Casey, the next one I think is going to be interesting, and it's going to address a lot of your points. You can just help me by reposting some of them. Come on, Newman. Who did someone take the jam out of your donut this morning? I mean, unbelievable. No. You know what? You want to talk about stats. Aesthetically, you'd say Pepe has been so poor and so poor and whatever, and I've given him a really hard time. If you look at Pepe's stats, second best in the team. For passing, assists, etc. Like, he's done exceptionally well. The stats back it up. So maybe, Newman, you should go back to bed, okay?
And wake up on the right side.
And wake up on the right side of the bed. And Amesy, no, he's not happy. I think. All right, let's get to number three. Now, guys, get ready for this one because it is about the Aston Villa game. Casey's got a very important question for you. And, you know, I'm a bit worried about Villa because they put 7 past Liverpool. Now we're unsure about who our goalkeeper is going to be in this game. But more importantly, this one.
Number 3, which is the bonus. Do you think Martin Odegaard should start the Villa game? Smith Rowe looked a little bit leggy at times. Obviously, we went down to 10 and 9 men, so it was difficult. But do you think Martin Odegaard should start the Villa game? They're the 3 questions for Kev Says 16. I look forward to debating you in the chat. All the best. Bye.
They've been doing a great job so far, Casey. What rating do you give the squad so far for the first two segments?
I'll give them a 7.5, actually. They've been really good. It's Newman's kept it at 7.5. He's not in the side down, he is.
We've got room for improvement, you guys, just like Arteta and the Arsenal boys. Okay, let's get Bernadette. Well done. Red card for Newman. Newman not happy. Here we go. Right. I personally think, I'll start with myself like we usually do, I think 100%. This is the game to throw him into. He's an unknown commodity. He's an unknown factor. Teams haven't faced him before. We need some energy. We need some, new legs. I think there's nothing wrong with putting ESR on the bench in this game, Kevin, and giving Odegaard a chance to start.
His first start.
It seems like the kind of game that he can come on and affect as well. So let's get to everybody's comments. Absolutely yes, says Victor. And let's get to this. Start him. Sir Brian says yes. DWTT, hello. ESR needs a break. If not Saturday, definitely the next game. Try it this Saturday. Is there a reason why we should wait, Kevin? What do you think about what DWTT is saying?
No, I don't. I think Arteta needs to protect ESR. And, there's been a lot of football going on. And ESR, he's played in a team with, I think this is probably his first time. First Premier League game where the team have gone down to 10 and then 9 men, and he's played in it, so it is extra stress on the body and he's going to be feeling it. So, just to freshen things up a little bit, you've got to be smart how you handle these youngsters. And, Martin Odegaard must be chomping at the bit to get in this team and see and show us what he can do.
Matthew's saying, about him being match fit? I mean, he's not match fit, but he's fit, and he can't get match fit unless
he plays the game.
Unless he plays. if you don't drop ESR, is there any other way you do it, Casey? Or is it just a like for like here, you think?
It all depends. It just depends on what your philosophy is. Xhaka and Partey in the centre midfield have been outstanding. So you're going to keep those two, aren't you? They're the engine room at the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you either look at Saka, you either look at Pepe, and those two have been very good. Smith Rowe or Lacazette, you look at them. Do you rest Lacazette and ESR and put Aubameyang with Odegaard in the number 10 slot?
What do you think about this idea? Guess what? I think we should play both of them, says Dellinger E.
I think that can happen, but I don't think it will happen this weekend. I think it'll be one or the other, solely because Smith Rowe played midweek.
Let's see. Gundy De Kogan says, start him and we may need to keep it tighter and be ready to utilise Odegaard to thread those through balls to find our front players. On the other hand, Villa haven't seen ESR yet either. Good point.
Yeah, but...
they know a bit more about him though, don't they?
Yeah, but they know about him, but they haven't played against him. The key to all this is who's the freshest. Mm-hmm. And when we create our chances, we need to take them. That's for sure. Because no disrespect, but both of these players will create opportunities or will be part of moves that will create opportunities. When we get our chances, we have to take them. Because if we take them, then that puts pressure on Villa to open up. And then we have more space. So it's going to be interesting to see what Arteta does.
Good evening, Mr. Waffles. You're making me hungry. I'd bring him on as a sub. Don't want to go too fast. There's a big difference between La Liga and PL. And it's not like, to be fair, Real Sociedad, when you saw him play before lockdown, he was one of the best players in the league, wasn't he, Kevin?
He was up there. I think he was up there behind Messi, Benzema and him. Mm-hmm. He was third look, you got your Modric's, you got Casemiro, you got Cruz. He was unbelievable. So I don't think the Premier League is going to be daunting for him. He's got the backup with Partey and Xhaka behind. Or you can go for the one in holding centre midfielder, and you could go for four across. Mm-hmm. You could easily go for Pepe, Smith Rowe, Odegaard, and Saka with Lacazette or Aubameyang up top. You can mix and match exactly how you see fit.
And James is saying if everyone is fit, Cedric, Holding, Gabriel, Tierney, Xhaka, Partey, Odegaard, Saka, Laka, Pepe, and Ryan in goal. Not bad.
That probably could be the starting lineup. Yeah.
Wesbird says, yes, definitely. I think ESR should start. He's looking leggy, something different, and see what Odegaard can do. Why buy him if you're not going to use him? Well, it's a case of, you know, easing him into the mix. And also what you don't want to do is kind of take the heart of ESR away by benching him when really he's been playing so great. How do you balance that? I mean, Arteta, this is where the management comes in, isn't it? I'm just going to rest your son, or I'm going to play you 16. I'm going to bring him on for 30 in the second half.
Yeah, I think Arteta knows exactly what he's doing and what to say to Smith Rowe. And I think Smith Rowe's young enough and smart enough to know, you know, I'm playing for Arsenal first team. I'm going to get my games. I'm going to start games. So if he chooses not to play me this time, hey, no problem. I'm on the bench, or maybe I might be rested completely. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. But the fact of the matter is ESR knows the manager trusts him now, which is important.
This has come in from a lot of folks. Olalawal, thank you for joining us. I'm much more worried about Runnison in goal. Let's hope Ryan is fit. Do you think this is going to be the biggest concern going into the match, Casey? I mean, it's the confidence at the back, you know, depending on who's playing. I'm not saying it's going to be shot after the red card. I think everyone will adjust mentally. It's going to be a problem. They haven't really... Anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, I just think... people always were going to say about Runnison isn't quite ready. And I think Ryan will be fit. That's why he probably wasn't rushed to try and get in for this game so he can be fit for the Aston Villa game. That would be really important. So with a bit of luck, Ryan will be fit and Runnison will be on the bench.
So two for you as well. I know we're moving off the Odegaard, but there's some other questions that are coming in because a lot of people want to see him play, Kevin. They want to see him play. If he doesn't start, they want to see him get more than like 15 minutes in the second half, right? But here's one for you. Absolutely no on this one, right? He's got to be on the bench at all costs. Agree?
I think he will be on the bench. I think William will be on the bench, yeah.
Would you start Oba?
I mean, it all depends how Lacazette is. I think if we're going to play Oba's going to play down the middle. Because obviously Pepe's been doing really well, hasn't he?
Yes. I think it would be terrible to drop Pepe.
I can't see him dropping Pepe. Not after scoring that great goal as well.
Yeah.
I don't see him dropping him.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. What else have we got? If Tierney's fit, do you start him, Kevin?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, you do start Tierney if he's fit.
Do you start Cedric or Bellerin at right back?
Well, I thought Bellerin done okay. If it was my choice, I'd start Cedric. But, you know, probably both have played as many games as each other. Probably Cedric's played more games of late than Bellerin. So maybe it's time for Cedric to have a rest.
Right. Osteoman 74, get your final questions in here. We've got Kevin for just 5 more minutes. You're listening to Kevin Says on the Highbury Squad. It's our lockdown series, volume 2, episode 19. Some great comments, opinions and questions coming from everyone tonight. Remember, 7.5 rating so far, so we need to get it 2.5 up. I'm just muting Newman for the rest of the show
so we can make
sure that we get that. Kev, do you think Odegaard would have played a bigger part last night if it wasn't for the red cards?
Of course he would. He would have come on and got more minutes. But again, that sending off, the first sending off changes everything because the team has to adjust. And then when Leno gets sent off, he's not gonna put him on in that. That's not fair on the player. And the team done well.
John Smith, I'm more concerned at the back with Grealish as oceans of space in the last match. Bellerin, Rob were both badly exposed. Yes, I would start Odegaard and have ESR on the bench. Pepe, Cedric have to play. As I said, a lot of people want to see Cedric start if Tierney's fit on that right side. And most people, Kevin, want to see Odegaard play. And some people think it would be not only unfair to drop Pepe, but it would also, Mohamed thinks it would be cruel to drop Cedric now.
Yeah, it makes sense. It does. It makes sense. But again, you know, it's a squad and it's a rotation. And unfortunately, Cedric maybe, because he can play well at both right back and left back, he's played most of the games. He's played in the FA Cup. He's played all these games. And not to say that he's moaning, because there was times, a long spell of times, where he wasn't in the team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's just starting to find his feet again now. He won't want to be dropped. But if Tierney comes back, I think he can move back to the right.
Cool. A 300-plus strong crowd in chat right now. Hit that like button for us. We're just here for a few more minutes. Johnny boy, there's going to be no Sophie time. Watch me get this in under 1 hour tonight. It's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Will there be Sophie time, everybody? Will there?
How about you give us your, it's the last few minutes of the show, brilliant comments from everybody. I hate 4:30 a.m. kickoffs. I mean, I also don't like us playing at that noon kickoff time. It just seems like we never really kind of wake up. But let's hope that changes. Kevin, why don't you give us your assessment of your three questions?
Yeah, my assessment is, I thought Mikel Arteta handled, I thought he really handled the game pretty well after the injustice of the sending off. Obviously, there's a decision that had to be made. Some agree, some don't, which is fine. But we were still in the game. And we were still in the game right up to the end, so we couldn't have got it all wrong. You know, you do have to box a bit clever when you get a man sent off. And then obviously getting Leno sent off as well makes life so much more difficult. But we adjusted again, and it weren't as if we were getting murdered or anything like that. You know, that they had a couple of chances, runners, and made a couple of good saves, which you're going to get. But we were still in with a shout right at the end. And that's all you can ask for sometimes. So I thought Arteta handled it pretty well in very difficult circumstances, which is another learning curve for him, because as a manager, this is the first time this has happened to him as a manager. So I think that was really good. As for turning the corner, As I said earlier on, we're on the turn, but it's a big corner, and we have hit a little bit of form, even though this was a blip against Wolves. We have hit a bit of form, and we're starting to see players play up to their talent level, which is great. So that's what I want to see. I'm really infused to see what we do against Aston Villa. Because Aston Villa have proved to be a very difficult team to play this season for numerous teams. But they're not unbeatable. They are beatable, I could tell you. They are beatable.
All right. And before we get to Odegaard, because I'm going to lose this, everyone wish Osterman 74 a happy birthday. Thank you for a great podcast. It's been a great birthday gift. Thank you for spending time with us on your birthday.
Happy birthday, Osterman. Happy birthday.
And then finally, I think you think Martin should start?
Yeah, I do. I think Martin Odegaard should start, and Smith Rowe should have a rest. Or, obviously, he should be on the bench, because you just never know. There might be something in it where we get him off the bench and keep Odegaard on.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that a lot. There's been no need for Sophie tonight, Carl. It's been much more chill than yesterday. It's almost like Zen Sophie's back.
Zen Sophie. It could blow up any second.
This is why I'm getting out while I can, Casey. This is why I'm getting out while I can. You guys have asked a lot of questions about referees and made some interesting comments. We're going to have the ref on tomorrow night where we're going to go over And it's not a case of, oh, we just want to move on. We haven't addressed it on our show, and we want to make sure that we answer all of your questions. I know that you've been listening and watching a lot of stuff, and there's been some good comments and some interesting feedback in terms of what's happened. There's one thing that happened in that game that I want to address with the ref tomorrow as well. So make sure you come back in and join us tomorrow night. We'll have the ref on as well as some other stuff. Inside the Dressing Room will return next week. We've got a fun player coming on to get KC with, so we can get inside their brains. And we love those anecdotal episodes as well, where we talk about the beautiful game from the player's point of view. So you can look forward to that next week. And on Friday, we have our fan forum, of course, a couple of really good guests coming on as well. So we look forward to that. This has been a fantastic Kevin Says, by the way. KC, you enjoyed it?
Loved it. Loved it. Loved the questions. And I love the format, how we've done it with the question and then the debate, then the question, then the debate. And the question. I like that format.
Yeah, it works out better, doesn't it? That way we get everybody.
It's more focused. Focused, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks, Shady. This is I bought this in a vintage store for like $25. It's from the 60s, suede jacket, and I love it. We like to do a little bit of fashion on the show as well.
Fashionista.
Fashionista. Good night, everybody. And Virginia, thank you so much. The usual crew, everyone who's joined us, anyone new who came in and joined us tonight, we absolutely appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks so much for always being a classy chat room. We love our listeners, and we thank you so much for joining us. Until tomorrow, Casey, tell them.
We're going to do the ref tomorrow. Come on, you Gunners!